I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com. Now, it's Patty's Picks with John Martin. Football picks from Patty Pump with guidance from the Kango Kid, Jason Smith.
Patty Pump and the Kango Kid.
Patty's Picks on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
There we go. I was waiting for my music before we got underway here.
Cue it, maestro.
We're starting once again. Went 3-3 last week, although the padlock did hit. We are starting with Thursday night. Late change, late adjustment, but we are starting tonight.
Oh, we're getting right into it.
And we are going with the faves. We're going with the Panthers. Right now, I believe that number is 8. Carolina is one of the surprises, you would say, of this NFL season, right? They're 2-0, and they're 2-0 against the spread in those games, most importantly. The Texans look like a more competent team than we expected with Tyrod, but Tyrod Taylor is gone. And this time it wasn't even because of his own team doctor. You know, he didn't even get punctured in the lung. He didn't even get stabbed in the lung this time. With what they can do on the ground, with the offense under Matt Rhule and Joe Brady there, I think this is just going to be a lot of Carolina moving the ball, scoring touchdowns. We like Carolina -8 in this one. I think they're going to really have a hard time getting Davis Mills, this rookie quarterback, time. Mm-hmm. They have Brandon Cooks. Like, that's what they got, you know. And the Panthers have a pretty solid defense. I just feel like it's going to be a lot of Carolina tonight. And so we're kicking it off. It's always risky. It's always risky to start Patty's Picks on a Thursday night because you can come in here 0-1.
Yeah.
That is a big number.
With a stank face.
Did you say Carolina +8?
No, -8.
-8. Beg your pardon.
Carolina -8. Look, I just.
A lot of points, John.
It is a lot of points, but I think Carolina certainly is 10 points better than a Houston Texans team with a rookie quarterback. Not even a first round rookie, a third round rookie. I think the Carolina Panthers take care of business tonight. I mean, look, with a number like that, you're always going to be susceptible to some backdoor hijinks, and that's what I fear. I hate losing on backdoor hijinks, but, you know, you got to go with what you know, and what we do know about the Carolina Panthers is they're pretty damn good. They're better than we thought this year, and the Texans are pretty damn bad. So give me Carolina -8. It's not my lock of the week. Okay, it's not my padlock of the week. We're going to get to that. But, yeah, we're going to kick things off Thursday night with the Carolina Panthers. We're going back to the well.
Titans?
We've had mixed results.
No.
We've had mixed results with these guys this year. And we're going back.
No.
We're going back to Nashville.
How about that? Third straight week, this man on Tennessee.
Woo. I like what we're getting. We're getting 5 right now. Titans -5 against the Indianapolis Colts. Here's the news coming out of Indy today. Practice squad quarterback Brett Hundley took the majority of starter reps in practice.
Good Lord.
On Wednesday. He and Jacob Eason may both play against the Tennessee Titans if Carson Wentz is out. That, to me, That smells like a disaster. Carson Wentz has not one but two sprained ankles. How do you have two sprained ankles, bro?
You're Carson Wentz. That's how.
Yeah.
Like, how is that possible? I've never even considered that that was a possibility, that two sprained ankles.
Head case and body case.
I know the Colts are desperate. I mean, you can be as desperate as you want, bro. I'm sure there are, you know, lots of desperate people out there. But when you're rolling Jacob Eason and Brett Hundley out there at home, yeah. Titans got a chance to go to 2-1. Oh, my God. Absolutely. Lock it in. Not my lock of the week, but lock it in. Titans -5. This is going to be a chalky episode of Patty's Picks. It just is. Underdogs have gone 21-11 against the spread this year so far through 2 weeks. And I got to tell you, I'm feeling like the dog catcher right now. I'm feeling like the pound today, brother.
Okay.
So we're going Titans -5. I don't care. You're going to try to sell me on Jacob Eason's arm?
No.
No, shove it up your ass.
I'm not trying to sell you on that.
You know, the Titans were 13 points better than the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. Or at least 10, right? At least 10 because they had
the
touchdown taken away.
Yeah, they got
and then
screwed
a field
there.
Goal, and they won by 3. So they were 13 points better than the Seattle Seahawks, who have Russell Wilson. The Indianapolis Colts do not have Russell Wilson.
No.
And they don't have Luck, who had their number.
Yes.
Nashville.
Right.
Look, I know people are going to say because the Colts are 0-2, they're desperate. The Titans should be desperate.
Yes.
You know, to prove that they're better than what they showed week one. They're back at home. They gave their fans just an abysmal performance in the opening week
of
the season.
Agreed.
So I think at a divisional game, look, it's going to get wild and wacky because it is a divisional game.
Yeah, make a statement that this is your division. You ain't messing around.
But the Colts aren't very good, even with Carson Wentz, it feels like this year. And so, yes, give me Titans less than a touchdown. We're going to take that all.
The Tennessee
day.
Titans.
I'm feeling that, John.
Patty. Yeah.
All right, so
yeah, Patty.
I have to take an underdog. I have to take an underdog this week because I can't just go off favorites. I got 5 favorites and 1 underdog. And I'm taking – I feel like I've taken them 2 weeks in a row. I have.
No.
I've taken them 2 weeks in a row, and they have let me down both times. So I feel like I am due. Reversion of the mean is necessary. Washington football team, who are you?
The Washington football team.
Who are you going to be?
You're talking to that defense in particular.
That's right.
Who are you, defense?
Who are you going to be? Look, Josh Allen – owns the Dolphins. As I said last week, he is SeaWorld because he owns the Miami Dolphins. Only Trevor Lawrence has been on target with his passes less often this season than Josh Allen. He has not been like the MVP caliber quarterback that we thought he would be coming into this season. The other thing going for the Washington football team is that we know they played a week ago. They're going to have a week and a half to prepare for Josh Allen. They've settled in. I believe this game is in Buffalo, so that is not going for Washington. But we're getting 7.5.
There should be some pride on the line for that Washington defense, for real.
A lot of points.
They have underachieved.
You're getting the hook here. To me, this is all – I mean, I think Buffalo wins this game. But I think Taylor Heineke, we know he's going to keep it close because he's got moxie. He's going to do some really dumb things like that interception against the Giants last week.
But he's still going to throw for 300.
He's an XFL player.
Yeah, but this is going to be an extremely weird game. I like Washington football team getting 7.5. If this was 6.5, we'd probably stay away. Well, because we're getting 7.5, like I think this is a touchdown game or less. I like Washington football team for the reasons that you mentioned. The defense has at some point got to show that they are who we thought they were.
Exactly.
They have too good of players not to be. I mean, that defensive line was held in check mostly against a bad New York Giants offensive line. The guy gets carted off in the best player gets carted off in the first freaking quarter.
I don't think Chase Young's got a sack yet.
Yeah, so I think at some point they are going to be heard from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be this weekend in Buffalo. Washington football team +7.5.
Okay.
That is what I'm rolling with this week.
Right.
2 more before we get to the lock here. I said going into Sunday night that anytime you can get the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes for less than a touchdown, you need to do that. You can do that this weekend against the Chargers. Now,
the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know people are going to say, well, they're 0-2 against the spread. And they are. They are 0-2 against the spread. But they got bored on Sunday night. They were destroying the Ravens. They were up 11 in the fourth quarter. And they just got bored, did some dumb things. Mahomes throws that stupid pick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has the first fumble of his career.
Oh.
A lot of things had to conspire for the Chiefs not to not only win that game, but not cover.
Yeah.
They're playing the Chargers this weekend, who lost to the Cowboys. And I know that the Cowboys got lucky because some touchdowns came back. Some touchdowns did come back for the Chargers. But I think the Chargers are a letdown this season. I kind of identify them as a disappointing team. Justin Herbert has not looked good. You're sort of seeing that sophomore slump. I think this is a statement game for the Chiefs. They're in Arrowhead, and I'm getting less than a touchdown. I think they're a better roster. I think they're a better team. The running game for the Chargers is nowhere near as good, because that was the issue that the Chiefs had against Baltimore.
Right.
Right. They could not get off the field. Short yarded situation. Lamar was getting it. The running backs were getting it. I think we're going to have a much better performance this week against the Chargers. I got Chiefs -6.5.
Oh.
Moving on. Last week, I don't believe I didn't take the Raiders week one, right? I think I did independently, but I don't think I had them in Patty's picks week one, the Raiders.
Week one?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either.
I can double check.
I did fade them, though. I did fade them in week two, and I was wrong because they won straight up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going back to the Raiders well.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
And this is making me very uncomfortable, but I am rolling with them. Raiders minus, I believe it's up to 4.5. I'm still fine with that.
Yeah, no Raiders in week one.
Raiders -4.5 against the Dolphins this week. Oh. The Miami Dolphins are not going to have Tua. They're going to have Jacoby Brissett, who is just one of the worst quarterbacks statistically in recent history. The Raiders are a different team. Like, this would be a perfect spot, right? This would be a perfect spot. And if you want to bet the Dolphins, I get it. This would be a perfect spot where the Raiders will let you down. You know, they get two very big wins against decent teams, decent to good teams, and they come back home against a doo-doo Miami team.
I could see it.
Jacoby Brissett.
I see it more being the Chargers game, the letdown for y'all, though.
I don't think that is going to happen. I think Derek Carr is locked in. I think this team is locked in. They want to get to 3-0. I don't see the way that the Dolphins keep up. Our defensive line is worlds apart from last season.
Yeah, creating some chaos up front.
We're going to get to Jacoby Brissett. We're going to make it hard on their running game. Their running game, not good, by the way. I mean, Myles Gaskin not having a great year. I just think the Raiders are a more talented team. I think they believe more. I think they win this game. I think they win this game by a touchdown. So if you want to take -4.5, I think you should feel absolutely comfortable doing that. Then the Raiders move to 3-0. And we're feeling good. We're making money. So there you go. So leading into the padlock of the week, this is what we have. We got Washington football team +7.5 against Buffalo. We got Kansas City -6.5 against the Chargers. Raiders -4 against the Dolphins. Titans -5 against the Colts. And then tonight we're rolling with
Carolina.
The Texans. Carolina. Yes, mm-hmm. -8.
All right.
Against the Panthers. Against the Texans. I told you this was going to be a chalky week. Okay. But I'm the dog catcher today. I'm the pound, and we're gonna round these dogs up. Who let the dogs out? We're gonna get them back in where they belong. They're 21-11. That is going to even out. It just is over the course of the NFL season. I think this might be the weekend where it starts. All right, padlock of the week. Last week it was the New England Patriots getting 6 against the New York Jets.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Covered that easily. Mm-hmm. Never really even in doubt. We're 1-1.
That's
we had the
we
Titans
like
week one,
yeah.
And then we had New England week two, so we're 1-1. This week, we are rolling with the team, and this will change week to week, but we are rolling with the team that is playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the reason why, I'll be completely honest with you, the reason why is because there was a clip, there's a press conference that Vic Fangio, who you know very well.
Yes.
Gave yesterday, and he just kind of brought it up on his own, very innocently, very innocuously.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to play this clip for you because it's going to give you a window into why we are taking the Arizona Cardinals -7.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, you know, shook his hand before the game and after the game, and his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL. You know, that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
Urban Meyer is in over his head. He is drowning in that little hot tub they got. In that stadium. Don't they have that hot tub, that little party pool?
Yeah,
whatever?
They got a pool out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he is drowning in that party pool right now. I mean, really? That's your thought? That every week is like playing? Dude, you are absolutely, you are underqualified.
And why are you telling Fangio that during the meet and greet session there?
100%, dude. You sound like you are ready to get out of town. You know what I mean?
USC.
So that would be enough. That would be enough in and of itself, but I will give you some numbers if you wish. The Jaguars, their defense, gave up 449 yards to Tyrod Taylor and the Texans in week one. They followed that up by allowing 398 yards to Teddy Bridgewater and the Denver Broncos. You happen to know what Kyler Murray is doing this year? He is the MVP front runner right now. And it's not just about Kyler Murray. This is the same Cardinals defense that destroyed Ryan Tannehill 2 weeks ago on the road in Nashville. Jacksonville ain't going to matter. They ain't going to give a damn about that. They are going to make mincemeat of that Jaguars offensive line. As great as Trevor Lawrence may be one day, that one day will not be Sunday. It will be the Arizona Cardinals' day. Lock it in, -7. I cannot believe it is only 7. I am very confused by this. I cannot possibly see this game being close.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Denver game was in Jacksonville, and it was never close. It won't matter. They're going to put up points maybe at the end of the game, the garbage points. But the Arizona Cardinals win this game going away very comfortably. I could see this being 28-10, something along those lines.
Well done.
We're winning. We're going 4-2 this week at the bare minimum. And it's going to start, Jason, with a 1-0 game tonight.
Thursday night. You put a little extra pressure on yourself when you pick those Thursday games. And the other thing that you added that right before,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You didn't. This wasn't from last night.
That's
and everything
correct.
Else. You did. Some that one's.
It's an audible late.
It wasn't audible late. It was. It was a.
But
scrimmage.
We're gonna go with the field.
Line of scrimmage. Yep.
We're also gonna go with the padlock. It's gonna continue to hit.
Nice.
I like that pick of Arizona there. I think that one will be easy for them. Here's where I'm at. Need to get out of an 0-2 hole. And can we get you on the record as there is more pressure on Brad and myself since we only get one of these a week?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. You get a little bit more opportunity to bounce back.
Yes.
Gosh.
This is tough.
I missed it by a point last week on the Rams
pick,
covering.
The
Mine's just the Creasy Bear cover.
Creasy Bear is on the record here.
Yeah. I can't call it a guarantee because I'm 0-2 too, Brad, on the Creasy Bear cover.
Creasy Bear cover.
I'm going with the Packers on the road to cover this 3.5.
Yeah.
And I can tell by the look on John Martin's face, it scares me. But when John's running away, just like he was on no run first inning the other night, I'm running toward it.
The
I'm
Green Bay Packers.
It right now. So you'll give it to me. I got Aaron Rodgers, who is mad, by the way, and mad at all y'all. Your media, you former players, you want to be media, all you guys trying to get in his head and say whether or not he's mad or he looks like he's lost a step. Aaron's still got something to prove to these doubters.
Yes.
And last year they went in there and it was pretty easy for him. I think he won 34-17, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that game, too, was in San Francisco. Now, look, I know that was a San Francisco defense that I think at that point in the season was already missing some key guys. Not the same San Francisco team. I will give you that. I like San Francisco, as a matter of fact, this season.
Yeah,
I've liked
that's
what
why,
I've seen Garoppolo. I've liked what I've seen from that defense, but you got Aaron Rodgers, and I know more about Aaron than any other quarterback, Lord knows, because he's beat me so many times. I know when Aaron is motivated, he will be. Remember, he's from Cali. You go out to Cali, you want to shine. Remember, what did the 49ers he wanted to be drafted by?
Yeah, he's a Cal guy.
Yeah. And so I think he makes a statement, and the Packers cover the 3.5. I'm taking the points on this one. They are the underdogs out west this week. Packers plus 3.5.
All right, Creasy Bear.
That's the most recent number, right? I looked at this morning.
Yeah, I've got 3.5 here.
Okay.
All right, let me make sure because I mean
I just checked it.
You may have to buy. Where was this on FanDuel?
Most of the books have you at 3.5.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I mean on certain apps today I had a hard time getting 3.5.
So you like 3.5 better than you like a lower number, right?
100%.
Yes.
Yeah. Right now I'm getting plus 3. So you're gonna have to buy the hook.
Oh wow.
Which you can. But are you telling people to buy the hook if they can't get it at 3.5? Or are you taking 3?
No.
There is a difference.
Buy the hook.
So
get it up to 3.5.
Yes.
That's very important.
Yeah.
Here.
So Jason is saying buy the hook at 3.5. Okay. There you go.
All right. I want to go to this next game.
The Dallas Cowboys.
For the Carson kicker, and we were just talking about the numbers on these games. They're fractional, I think. And I think in this game, the Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, it's very important that last night I made my pick as opposed to today when it's at 4.5. The number is 3.5. Cowboys -3.5 is my pick. Now, this is a trap game because you've got DeMarcus Lawrence out on the defensive side.
Yeah, but Micah Parsons looking good in his stead.
And it's interesting you bring up him because they're going to move him to his position, then Vander Esch is going to have to take over and play the whole game. So they're switched around. I think that defense is underrated. I think the defense is really good. And I think the Eagles' offense is overrated with Jalen Hurts. Everybody loves Hurts. I think that defense is for real for the Cowboys. Now, I thought what Matt Johnson wrote is interesting. The Eagles are rebuilding, even if the organization doesn't want to call it that. Jalen Hurts does some nice things. It's not the caliber of passer the Cowboys can handle with their secondary. On the other side of the ball, Dak puts up points. He'll overwhelm Philadelphia, and Prescott should go over 300 yards and three touchdowns. I'll take the over on that, and I will take the Cowboys -3.5 for Carson's kicker. Tough one. They are at home. This is a, you know, they've been on the road for two games in a row. They're going to get excited in front of that home crowd. And Dallas, 3.5. Come on, John, help me out here.
It sounds like our picks scare him this week.
They do, because, you know, you're talking about.
Yeah. You don't like either one of them.
I'll tell you this.
You like his better than mine.
Because I think the Cowboys-Eagles game, because it's a divisional game, because Jalen Hurts is playing the way he's playing, it's going to come down to a field goal either way.
You are a damn Cowboys hater.
No, I'm not. I bet him last week. I had him in the segment.
Okay.
I had Cowboys +3.5 or whatever it was. Yeah, I think it was 3.5. I hate 3.5 when I'm picking favorites.
Yeah.
Because.
What if you got him yesterday at 4.5? I didn't explain that part of the equation.
It's better if you're going to take him at
4.5 if you got him?
No, I don't think I would take him at 3.5. So that's the issue, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. 3.5, you wouldn't take him either.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But either way, you're out
on the Cowboys.
Your pick.
It is at 4.5, though, at most places. I did get him at 3.5 last night on, I think it was FanDuel.
Yeah. So anyway, there you have it this
that's
week.
Good.
Let's try to bounce back. We're overwhelming our listeners. There's so many picks, so many numbers, so many lines. They don't know where to look.
No, we're not doing, you know, six is a good round.
But the lock was the Arizona game, you said.
The lock, what Patty's palette this week is Arizona. I believe the latest number is -7. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can put a little Louis Armstrong on. Ooh, yeah.
You're right.
And just take a nap and just, you know, wake up and just know they won by 14 points. Like, I'm just telling you, because when you put in bets, what you really want is. Yeah, sweats are fun every now and then.
No sweats. I haven't too many sweats.
But you want peace of mind. You know what I mean?
I had enough of that.
Like yesterday. Cardinals have it's friggin' 6-0
in
the second inning.
That was plenty of peace
of mind for me. You know what I mean?
I loved it.
Like, that was just great. Like, you didn't have to worry about that at all. You know, just like.
Oh, you slick jumping on Cardinals, huh?
I had the under. That was freaking stupid
yesterday.
They're just
first pitches here shortly. Where are they at today? I didn't actually check it. So
I had the under because I really didn't think it was going to be a high-scoring game. But, my God, 12 runs scored. That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you have it. This week's edition of Patty's Picks. Well, of course, we'll revisit this on Monday. Hopefully, we got to get to 500. This is the week where Patty gets to 500. And then if we can get to 500, going into the week four where we're really starting to learn about these teams and it's becoming very clear. That's when the momentum picks up. It's like a snowball, man.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling like a snowball this week?
Oh, I'm with it. I'm with you on these padlocks right now. Yeah. You'd be 2-1 on those as well.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. Barrett Jones is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about college football this week. Get his thoughts on Alabama. Nick Saban's mad at the media. What else is new? Must mean they're playing a crappy opponent this week. All that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 is the number one sports place in Memphis for football. Live on the Odyssey app, your audio home for football.
Football Saturday starts on 92.9 FM ESPN with Saturday morning Marty and McGee, Dari and Mel. Later, it's Tennessee traveling to the Swamp to take on the Florida Gators. Pre-game at 4:30, kickoff at 6 p.m. live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Monday, it's the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Monday Night Football, pre-game at 6:45, kickoff at 7:15.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Barry Jones is an ECS product, national champ at Alabama. Now spends some of his Saturdays calling games on ESPN Radio. He joins us. Now, Barry, what's up, brother?
How are you, guys?
So I saw
pretty
this.
Good.
That was quite the intro right there. I mean,
oh, you like that one?
You know, people don't typically like. I don't know why, but they don't typically pick like you know soul type songs for me. You know, it's normally like, hey, you know, here comes the you know the crusty private school kid. You know,
that's
we'll
right.
play some like. Yeah, you know, maybe like 80s music or something. Yeah, you know? So I like that. That's
yeah.
good.
Well, we, you know, look, I've happened to see your, you know, your low post moves, man, and those are very smooth, you know. So I thought, you know, 80s, you know, R&B, that'd be right up your alley.
I like that. So, I appreciate that. That's big time.
So, look, I saw this tweet yesterday from Lane Kiffin, and it's so obvious, like, what he's doing, but it's just funny that he's going to this extreme. He tweets, please stop poking the bear. They are loaded and don't have any holes. It's, of course, in reference to Alabama. Best team in America by far. I mean, this is obviously coming from somebody that has worked with Nick Saban directly, and it's because he doesn't want to give him anything, right? Isn't that what this is all about?
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I mean, it's pretty funny the fact that an SEC coach is constantly tweeting – basically subtweeting Nick Saban. Like that's pretty amazing when you really step back and think about it. And not only an SEC coach, but like it seems like a really good SEC coach of a really good team this year. So yeah, it is funny. And it's not his first time, you know, he's always saying stuff about Alabama on Twitter. It's kind of like that movie Dodgeball. It's a bold strategy. You'll see if it pays off for him.
Yeah, he said, I wish the media would stop upsetting Coach Saban. Like it really is classic.
It really is classic. Like I think he's just having fun with it, and you know, I mean, look, obviously internally, he wants to beat Nick Saban, and he's saying, I'm sure, a very different tune to his team. But it's pretty hilarious what he's putting out there.
What do you think? Not to look past, you know, mighty Southern Miss, which Alabama's got this weekend. Obviously, 45-point favorites over them. But what are you sort of expecting when Ole Miss goes to Tuscaloosa? We, you know, if Florida, and I realized that was in the swamp, but they put up, what, 440 yards? How many Corral and that Ole Miss offense going to put up on you?
Yeah, I'll say it'll be interesting. You know, I thought that Alabama's defense going into this year was going to be much improved. I still think they are. I think they are much improved, and I think they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. That was a really poor performance by them, specifically in the run game. I do think that the secondary for Alabama is pretty strong. If I were Alabama fan, which I am, obviously, I wouldn't be as concerned about maybe Matt Corral even as I would their running game. I think they've got two really good running backs. And if Alabama can't slow down that rushing attack, you know, that's it kind of all stems from there. When you can run the ball against somebody like Florida ran it against Alabama, it makes it a lot tougher to slow them down. And especially with the fact that Ole Miss's passing attack obviously is a lot more potent than Florida's. It could be trouble if they don't get some things right in the next few weeks.
You know, Tony Barnhart made the point with us this week. I think he wrote it, too, that that's actually probably going to end up being a great thing for Saban because now you got to listen to every word coming out of, you know, you use that close win to say, I told you guys, like, you guys think we're a finished product, we're going to go win in that. I told you there's, you know him so well. Do you think that's what it's been this week in terms of Saban and talking to those guys? Like, I told you so, we still got work to do, and they got to listen, right? Is that how it's gone?
Oh, my goodness, 100%.
Okay.
Somewhat, I'll say this. Coach Saban is unbelievable at telling the players what they need to hear. And so I would say probably some of the times where, you get ringed the most are probably times like this where you win the game, especially if it's against a good team. That's probably the time where he really,
yep,
takes time to coach. The times where you lose a game or maybe even win a game but you feel like the team needs confidence, he's much different maybe than you expect. Like, you would expect him when your team loses to go off on people, and normally it's the opposite. Normally he's more encouraging during those weeks because he understands, hey, my team doesn't need to be brought down. They're already low enough. I got to bring them up. So he does a great job of kind of keeping his finger on the pulse of the team,
yep,
and understanding what they need to hear. And I have a feeling that this week probably was the week they needed to hear. They got a long way to go if they want to be a championship caliber team.
How come you've never, we've been having you on the show for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. How come you've never told us the legends of Nick Saban and Deez? How come we had to hear that from, whoever that was in the press conference? I mean, I feel like we've had ample opportunity for you to tell us the legends of Nick Saban and Deez.
Well, these kind of jokes are very personal. I mean, you can't just go around telling these jokes to anyone.
I mean, is he really like the kind of – like, it's funny because you just never – you have this perception of Nick Saban. You see him on the sidelines. You're up 21-0. He's ripping somebody's head off. Like, you just have a hard time compartmentalizing that could be the same guy in practice making D's jokes. But, like, was that really commonplace, or was that – what was it kind of like inside practice when Nick Saban was feeling, kind of frisky?
I'll just say that he's a lot funnier than you think. I'm just going to say that. He really is pretty funny, and certainly once the media leaves, he gets a little bit looser with jokes, and he likes to have a good time. So,
do you think most coaches are like that? Do you think most coaches are like that, Barrett? Like, they sort of put this personality on where it's, real football coach, but then when it's just, them and the team, they're a different person?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a different person. I mean, look, he's still intense. I mean, you certainly got to understand when the time is to joke with him. I mean, you picked the wrong time. You gotta be very careful when you're handling dynamite. So I wouldn't say, I'm not going to overdo it to say he's just jovial, he can joke around with him any time, or he's a different person. But I mean, the thing that people forget about Coach Saban, like, he loves coaching football. He really does. Like, he loves teaching the game. He's probably at his happiest during practice. Like, he loves practice every day. He loves being out there, and unless we're having a terrible practice, he's usually in a pretty good mood during practice because he actually loves coaching and teaching, the players and watching them improve. So I think that you could probably say that's the highlight of his day most days.
How about this job that Sam Pittman has done at Arkansas? I mean, he's making $3 million. Mike Leach is making $5 million at Mississippi State. And how much of a chance do you give them at home this weekend against Texas A&M?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that game. They've done a great job, Sam Pittman has, and obviously – they certainly beat the other Texas team pretty handily. That was an awesome game to watch.
Yep.
I don't know. I love Sam Pittman. Like, I'm all about O-line coach, become head coach, that kind of mentality. I love it. So I root for Sam Pittman, root for his teams. What kind of chance are they giving against Texas A&M? I think a pretty good one. I mean, I feel like there's really not a reason for us to think that Texas A&M is an elite team other than just the fact they were ranked there preseason.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, now they might be, obviously, if you want to talk about talent, they have a lot of talent in certain spots. They have a lot more talent than Arkansas throughout their team, if you're going to go on a recruiting basis. But, man, if you look at just the product of what both teams have produced on the field this year, Arkansas certainly has a much better resume with the way they've played up to this point, maybe with the exception of the first half of their first game, than Texas A&M does. So, yeah, I don't know what it'll be like. Will Texas A&M finally play up to their potential? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of question marks right now, and the big question mark going into the year for Texas A&M was a quarterback,
yep,
and I think that question mark certainly has only gotten bigger.
We're talking to Barrett Jones, ECS product, multiple time national champion here on the show. Do you think one day we're going to look up and the playoff is going to be 12 teams?
Yes, 100%.
What's this all about? This whole, you know, the stupid charade we're playing here then?
I mean, you guys, I'm not like a big politics, I mean, I'm the biggest politics guy, but yeah, I follow it really with respect to my other job. I work in finance, so I just follow what's going on with the passage of legislation. And there's just posturing, guys. There's always posturing before these things get passed. There's always random stuff that, you know, that's thrown out and these guys aren't going to show up. And there's just, you know, it's the same kind of thing that's happening right now in college football. And the bottom line is it's going to get done. That's what the fans want. They want people to watch their sport. Ultimately, it'll be 12 teams, but there's going to be some posturing. Everyone's mad at the SEC right now because, you know, they went out and made the first big move and didn't tell anybody else, which, by the way, I tell people all the time, like, people are mad. Anyone who's mad at Greg Sankey, I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game. Like, this is the way it works right now. Greg Sankey's not responsible for college football. He's responsible for the SEC. He made his product better. The other commissioners, it's their job to make their conferences better. So, I think it's ultimately will definitely get done. The SEC's in a position right now where they really win either way. They're going to win if they keep it at four. And if they expand it to 12, then they'll just get more teams in. So I think ultimately it will certainly be 12. Because that's what they've decided on, and once everyone cools down, then that's we'll get that. It might just take an extra few years.
Now, how about 3-0 Memphis, Barrett? You get snubbed by the Big 12, at least this time around. You do, right? You're not one of the UCFs or Houston's that's going now, Cincinnati, that. And then you go out there on Saturday in front of 40-something thousand at your place, Liberty Bowl, and you knock off an SEC team, albeit, you know, the one picked at the bottom of the West, but it's still Mike Leach again, $5 million, and still Mississippi State, still the air raid. How about that win for Memphis and just the perception of it now? Saw Kalashaw on the other day on Around the Horn saying, man, look, they're RBU, they're running back. Look at all the running backs they've got in the league. We know they're doing this now through, what, three coaches with Fuente and Norvell and now on to Silverfield. What did you think about Memphis picking up that win over Mississippi State, albeit with a little help from the officials?
Well, I thought it was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was really great for Memphis. I mean, you're right. I mean, look, I was having this conversation with a coworker the other day thinking about how many Memphis players, especially running backs right now, are so relevant in the NFL. I mean, Memphis has become has done such a fantastic job of developing talent. Their brand, I think, nationally has really expanded over really the last decade of just what their football team is. And absolutely an SEC win, I don't care who it is, does nothing but help that. And I was really excited for him. You know, when I look at Memphis football, the thing I love about watching those guys play is two things. Number one is they have an identity. And really, it's they've had an identity now through three coaches. Yep. Of just a lot of speed. It's a lot of fun to watch. They've really developed their talent in such a good way. And, man, they play really hard. And I know that sounds cliche, but there's just a ton of film you turn on for other schools, and you can just kind of tell they don't really know who they are. They play, you know, they play kind of hard. That's just not what you see when you turn on Memphis football. And so I think it's pretty cool being a lifelong Memphian, you know, to turn on the TV, no matter which conference or school you're a fan of, and you see, you know, the blue helmets with the M's on them, and they're playing good football, and they're playing hard, and they're playing with identity, with a purpose, and you know, it's just fun to watch. So. I'm jacked about Memphis football. I love watching him. I love Ryan Silverfield, another O-line guy who's the head coach now.
That's right. That's right.
And I think they're doing a fantastic job. So, yeah, I have nothing but support. Oh, I wish, you know, that things were different in regard to the conferences. You know, the bottom line is there's all this talk about, well, this team's good. This team, you know, the reality is it's a lot of the decision-making right now being made about conference realignment has to do with TV contracts, and it has to do with the amount of dollars that these schools are making, these programs are making. And so, you know, there's a lot of decisions that go into that. And unfortunately, I think just that's that. I wish it were just performance only, because if it was, I think Memphis certainly would deserve a spot.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's right. Are you willing to trade Bandy for Memphis? I feel like that's like you guys are getting the better end of the deal than the American in that sense.
How about Tennessee?
Either one.
I'm kidding.
Either one. Two for one there.
SEC has to keep Vandy because Vandy can always keep cheating in baseball. and keep winning national championships. So that they have to keep them for that.
Wow.
They're an academic institution.
Yeah, we unfortunately we don't have a lot to offer baseball wise. You know, we
that's
do
right.
we do have a bit of ways
you
to
know,
go.
I mean, I just last year I figured out, y'all know about the whole Vandy thing. I mean, like it's kind of ridiculous to me. I don't understand how it's still, you know, everyone else can give 11.7 scholarships and Vandy gives out like 30 a year. Because they have some leadership scholarship in baseball. You can't do that in football, but apparently you can still do it in baseball. So all the other SEC schools get really mad at Vandy because they somehow can circumvent the rules.
Well, and
anyway,
let's be
if you never read about it.
And it's nice. Let's be real. It's nice to have a guaranteed win in the SEC every year. You know? Like, those are hard to come by, but Vandy's always right there.
You're obviously not a Clark Lee believer. So
is anybody a Clark Lee believer?
I think Barrett might be.
I like Clark Lee. Man, if you've ever been there and you see their football facilities and you go to another school, it's a tough sell.
Barrett, if Memphis was the Memphis it is now you're a five-star, you're going to go to Alabama. But would you have let us in the living room? At least, if it was a different time and Memphis is the Memphis it is now, back when you were picking schools? That's a no. It's a no. You were still too elite. You were too elite.
I'm a Memphis guy, so I want to just say, like, absolutely. I mean, you know, but, like, I mean, I love Memphis.
You were too
elite.
You
put me in a tough spot here, man.
Yeah, I knew I was.
And I got to tell you that you're butchering this, man. You just got to say yes.
He's not going to lie.
You could have just said, come on in. We can talk.
You said you wanted to let him in the living room.
I was like the number 50, you know, I was like the 50th player in the country. So, I mean, I had like all the SEC offers. And
yes, you did.
I'm really not saying that to my own horn at all, I promise.
No, you don't do much of that. That's true.
I'm just saying that that probably was. I mean, at that point, I was pretty dead set on playing the SEC. If I'm being honest.
How we want
there,
you.
You don't have to apologize, man. Jason has kind of put
Memphis
you. He has put you
game,
in an impossible
I'm
spot.
I'm not gonna tell you.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, I know probably most people would have just gone with it there. I should have gone with it.
No, we need maybe another 15 or 20 years, Barrett. You know what I mean?
But you would have picked.
I'm messing around with you.
You would have picked Memphis over Jim Harbaugh, though, right?
It was a five-star, bro.
You definitely would have gone to Memphis over Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, Harbaugh, yeah.
Have I ever told you all my Harbaugh story before?
I think you have, but I think it's always good to hear it again.
That he came back to you, right, afterwards and said something?
That's right, yeah. So he did. So I'll tell it really quickly, but basically – when I was committing to schools, it came down to Alabama, Florida, kind of Tennessee. They were sort of in trouble. And actually, North Carolina was in my top three. They were, I thought, headed up at that point. Butch Davis was there. I thought they were going to be good. Then they got
right.
in trouble.
That's right.
But before I committed, I actually called all the coaches and just let them know, like, hey, I'm releasing this statement tomorrow with this really junior reporter. He's not very good. Anyway, that's a whole different story. I'm glad you caught that. All the coaches were super nice. I mean, really, everyone. Urban Meyer was nice. Butch Davis, they were all nice. He said, good luck. You know, you'll be great. And except for Jim Harbaugh. He was not. He said I was making the worst mistake of my life that I would regret forever to, like, a 17-year-old. And I was like, oh, my gosh, coach, that's so harsh. And so my first game I ever called was Michigan-Florida. It was in Dallas. And I walk into the meeting room to interview him. I said, hey, coach, you know, Barrett Jones, good to see you. He didn't smile. He didn't say anything. He just looked at me and said, I'm still mad at you. You should have come to Stanford. He was at Stanford at the time.
That's ridiculous. That's absurd.
So tell us.
And I said, coach, I won three national championships. It worked out okay. He said, no, you should have come to Stanford. I said, coach, you left 2 years later and went to the Niners.
Exactly.
He said, no, you still should have come to Stanford.
Would you have been blocking for Andrew Luck or no? Was he gone at that point?
Yeah, I think I would have been. Yeah, I think I would have walked for Andrew Luck. But I was like, take your pleated khakis and get out of here, man.
No,
come on.
No,
man.
That's right. I'll take my
crazy.
Three national titles.
It worked out pretty well for you, man. You know, it worked out pretty well. Hey, Barrett, we know you got to get back to the debt ceiling, man. We appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you so much, Barrett.
All right, I'll get the debt ceiling handled. See you later.
Thank you. Yeah, yep. Right. He is Barrett Jones. Catch him on ESPN Radio, calls college football games every week. SEC national champion, ECS product. Appreciate his time. As always, how about that, man? That's just Bush League. Like, to hold that against somebody for that long.
More just to tell the 17-year-old that you're making the worst decision in your life. Like,
right.
That's, come on, that's like, stop.
I mean, you really thought you were going to get a kid from Memphis, Tennessee, all the way out to Stanford over Alabama and then the SEC? Yeah. You're crazy.
With that kind of attitude, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but I will. that's how you become Jim Harbaugh and you never beat Ohio State, because you have a non-flex sort of attitude with young men. That's stupid.
How about you won multiple national championships? Yeah, it worked out pretty good for you, big dog. You know
still,
what?
Still should have come.
You're just wrong.
You're still going to say you were wrong. Give me a break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's an idiot move.
It is. All right, the Grizzlies have released their promo schedule for the year. That's always fun. What are the best promos? We'll get into that.
Wrestling.
And more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Thanks to Barrett Jones for joining us on the show today. Got a big one tonight. Not really, but it is a meaningful game for this show because it is Patty's first pick of the week. And it is always nice to come in here on a Friday 1-0. Always nice to come in here as a winner. That is going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Barrett Jones for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Brian Scalabrine hopping on in the first hour. Gino and Jerf here are up next. Don't touch that dial. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.